And turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation as we continue our study. Revelation, we are on lesson number 23 and dealing with Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. And lesson 23, aggressive prophecy in the midst of woe. Does anyone need lesson number 23? If you do, raise your hand, please, and we'll get that to you, lesson 23. All right, don't see any. And we just kind of started on this last week, so we are on Roman numeral 1, the message of the truth. And our verse is Revelation 11, 15. So let's look at that. We'll say that together. And I like it. It's a good verse. Revelation 11, 15. Let's say the reference verse and then the reference again and begin. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11, 15. And again, Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11, 15. Thank you so much, Father, for this day. And we thank you for all the mothers that are here, that are such a big part of our church and so important in our ministry. Thank you for mothers who have gone to heaven and have had an impact on our lives. My own mother, I thank you so much for her. And I just pray that you'll bless our day and help us as we study your word to get everything we need, Lord. Some will need comfort today. I pray you'll give that. Some will need some teaching, that'll give them wisdom, perhaps, for decisions. Some will need your guidance in other areas of their life and in our walk. And Lord, for some today, perhaps it would be something that would be a rebuke to them and a help that way. But help us, Lord, to get what it is you want us to get from your word today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Again, the aggressive prophecy in the midst of woe. We have the message of the truth is number one, Revelation 10, 1 through 11. Again, Revelation 10 through 11, 13 is, again, we use that word parenthetical. And it doesn't necessarily fit in the sequence of things, but remember that Revelation, not, you know, where we would maybe tell a story, okay, this happened at 7 o'clock we did this, and then at 8 o'clock we did this, and then at 9 o'clock this happened, and right after that this happened. You know, that's how we might tell something. Well, Revelation is not necessarily put together that way, and these events, as many of the events in Revelation, are not necessarily happening one right after the other. They sometimes are happening at the same time. Perhaps we have dealings with the Antichrist. Well, we know that the whole tribulation, obviously, the Antichrist is doing things. There are things involved, in the whole tribulation. But obviously, we do know. Daniel tells us this, and also Revelation, that the Antichrist, there is this in the middle of the 7 years, after 3.5 years, and for 3.5 years, you know, the Antichrist is doing things. We do have those indications. We do have some of those ideas given to us. So again, this, it looks like it's just inserted, you know, into the order of things. We've opened seven seals. The seventh seal opens up seven trumpets, and I say opens up, introduces seven trumpets, and so the trumpets, and so you think it's, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you know, and all that. Well, there are many things going on during this 7-year period And God is simply showing us all of the different things that are going on. And so we've had six trumpets have sounded. And Glenn approached me, Brother Herndon, about the numbers as far as since the rapture. I said over half of mankind was dead. And he pointed out that actually it is exactly half of mankind since the rapture. I was trying to figure out where I came up with there were over half, and apparently in my mind I was counting the rapture. Obviously, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people gone during the rapture, but I've been saying that since the rapture, over half, but the Bible says actually it is exactly half of mankind has died, and I appreciate Brother Herndon pointing that out. And it's one of the blessings of our class. We have people that are actually listening, and not that others weren't, but they're studying, they're looking at things. In his case, trying to trip me up, but no, he's not really. But anyway, it is actually. But that, just think about the numbers of people. Think about all the people. And so if the rapture were to take place today, you know, obviously thousands. I would say millions of people would go in the rapture. We would hope there are many, many Christians, people saved, and then obviously up until this point, after the sixth trumpet, there will be half of mankind killed in these terrible, terrible judgments of God. So we have three things now in this section that the Bible talks about, and then ending with the seventh trumpet. Well, then we're going to have an insert in that as well. And so you're looking for the sounding of that seventh trumpet. Okay, well, what's this, and what's it? Why are these things happening? God is simply telling us some of the different things that are being that are happening, some of the different truths of the tribulation. And one thing that is brought out here in Revelation 10, 1 to 11 is the message of the truth. And so let's go ahead and look at that, chapter 10 and verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And so here we have an angel. Now, some have said that some commentators believe this is Jesus. I wouldn't fight with them over that. I understand a lot of significance with a foot on the sea and a foot on the earth. The only question, the only reason I personally don't think this is Jesus is verse 6 says, "And swear by him that liveth forever and ever." And if it was Christ, he would have to swear by himself, and because he is he who liveth forever and ever, and so which he did in Hebrews 6:13. But again, if you want to believe this is Jesus, it's okay. There are reasons for that. But again, the point is this little book. He had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And so we see this little book open. Chapter 5 and verse 1 is this, we talked about the title deed. Is he now taking claim to the earth? Revelation 5 and verse 1, which we studied, seems like years ago. Actually, it could have been years ago. Revelation 5, 1, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Again, book, scroll, we got to go back to those days. This being a book like we would think of, scroll. This book is a little book. Again, what is it? Well, some say that it is the content of what is found in chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. The point is, he is told to eat the book. And that is That is a very interesting thing. We'll get to that as well. Verse 3 says, "And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." We ended talking about that last week. Seven thunders, okay? So we've had seven seals. We had six trumpets, but we know there are seven trumpets. Later on, there will be seven vials. Now, these seven thunders are kind of an interesting thing. And commentators, let's go back to the one thing that we have used and talked about often in the study of Revelation, and that is that some things are subjective. In other words, if the Bible doesn't say, then we can't say. All right, as a preacher, as a teacher, I can say, well, here's what I think, and I'll have five others say, well, I don't totally see it that way. And that is the book of Revelation is like that. It is definitely like that because the Bible does not say. But I like to speculate. I love to just kind of sit and think about that. What in the world are these seven thunders? We've had seven seals. That was judgment. All right, the opening of the seven seals. We have the seven trumpets. We know those are judgments of God. Later, there will be seven vials. Again, remember, we have the six seals, and then the seventh seal opens up, and we have seven trumpets. Well, the seventh trumpet it signifies and opens up seven vials or bowls of God's judgment. And so it keeps going like that. And then just inserted here are these seven thunders. And so, since we've seen this pattern, now again, the Bible doesn't say. In fact, it is said, don't say anything. John, don't write it down. You know, which is an amazing thing. But are these judgments? Are these seven separate judgments of God? And so if they are, why? Verse 4, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And so in my mind, I see John, he's got his pen or pencil, his writing instrument out, and he's starting to write what they said, just like seven trumpets, just like seven seals. He's going to write it all down. He was told to write everything down. But it says this, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And so these thunders, maybe a thunderous voice, maybe, somehow there was something uttered, it was spoken, they were words that were given, and he was told not to write them. Now, see, to me, that intrigues me. And, why? First of all, are they judgments too? Now, in my thinking, I think they are. I think these are also judgments of some type, and so why not write them down? You know, are they worse than the seals? That's hard to imagine. Are they worse than the trumpets? I mean, the last two trumpets, I mean, people are first tortured. These were called woes. You know, there were three woes, and two of those woes were demons, literally tormenting people and then killing people. These seven thunders, you know, is it worse? Now, again, time here is very uncertain because, again, this is inserted. I do not believe we're looking at something sequential. So when do these seven thunders take place? It could be between the sixth and seventh trumpet, as it is in line right here, but the Bible doesn't say. It could be simultaneous. Again, just keep in mind these judgments. We're talking about a period of time that is not a long period of time anyway, and so these could be going on simultaneously. But it's just inserted. Now, is it inserted because of the time? Is it inserted because John was told not to write it? Don't write him down. Again, we can only speculate. that God is, you know, because why even say anything? Okay, John, don't say anything. But he was allowed to write that there were seven thunders. He was allowed to write uttered, something was said. He was allowed to write, but he just couldn't write what was said. And again, you know, just one of those things, I wonder about it. And, you know, very clearly, God said this, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Definite command from heaven, don't write it down. No record. There will be no record. There's a record that there was an utterance made, but no record of what was said. Now, there is something here we cannot know. Well, then my mind starts really going into, you know, high gear on, well, what in the world could it be? Now, by the way, when God doesn't say, we would be foolish to spend a whole lot of time wondering what it is. Do you? Okay, just like the rapture, the imminence, you know, Jesus' return, he says, we don't know. Angels don't know. We're not going to know when he's coming back, all right? He says it. So for me to spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out when he made it clear he's not going to tell me when, okay? What should I do? I should just be very, 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 very busy knowing he could come back anytime. Now, the seven thunders, so again, I got curious about it, but again, there is nothing. It's a definite command from heaven, write them not. There is no record. There is something here that we cannot know. So I started thinking, oh, well, maybe it was something that God didn't want Satan to know. Interesting. Just something to think about, that it you know, maybe Satan couldn't know. But notice, go back. This isn't really a strange thing in the Bible. Daniel 12, verse 4. And we did study this. We talked about it with Daniel. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. When I read this, I think of Scripture. I believe in Jeremiah. The secret things belong to the Lord thy God. There are some things God knows, and he's not going to tell us. There are things that he has revealed, and he shows to us, but there are many things he doesn't reveal to us. Daniel 12, 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. There were some things that Daniel was shown, and he was told to shut up the words and seal the book. You know, go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. There are some things God doesn't tell us. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. The Apostle Paul talking about himself, and he heard unspeakable words. It's not lawful for a man to utter. He was not allowed to talk about it. Okay? Just very, very interesting. You know, well, I want to know what all this is. Well, God has chosen for us not to know what these seven thunders uttered. Now, it is possible, Psalm 29, verse 3, we do have, maybe we have a hint here. And, you know, the Bible does say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we are allowed to study. In fact, we're commanded to study. Psalm 29, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Watch, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. And it is interesting. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon, Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Now, it is interesting that we have a thunderous voice here. And we see in verse 4, we see power. We see majesty. Verse 5, we see he breaketh the cedars. Then we see in verse 7, he divides the flames of fire. Verse 8, he shaketh the wilderness. And verse 9, he actually, it affects the animals and discovereth the forests. Literally, I believe, means it strips the trees of the forest. And there are seven things there. And again, that's just one of those things to kind of wonder about. Is this a prophecy of the seven thunders in Psalm 29? I would definitely not say definitively this is. But there are seven effects of his thunder here in Psalm 29. The key thing is we are not allowed to know for sure. We're not allowed to know for whatever reason. I read that, and as a Bible student, I think, hey, I want to know. I want to know because Glenn Harnden's going to come up and say, "What are those thunders, Pastor? You're the pastor." But you know what? There are just some things we don't know. We're going to talk about the two witnesses. And I believe that it's Elijah and Enoch. And some of the best men that I know of believe that it's Moses and Elijah. And when it all happens, then they'll find out I was right. But you know what? We really don't know. Now, I say all that because it's just a wonderful life lesson about our God. And I have people all the time say, "Pastor, I really want to know. I want to know why." And you know what I have to say to them over and over? You know, God didn't tell us why. God didn't tell us why. Sheila Click, you know. We dealt with that trial last year of her husband going on to heaven, and I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to a widow lady or a widower or somebody who's lost a parent or somebody who's lost a spouse or just so many different situations, and I have to say, you know what? We just don't know. It's a glory of God to conceal a thing. It is what separates, one of the things that separate us from God is what he knows and what we know. I was talking to somebody recently about the digital world, and I remember when that actually first started coming out in the 90s, and I had a high school student in our Christian school did a report on digitizing. And I had no clue what that meant. I don't think he had a clue what it meant. He just he did his report on digitizing. It was new, probably in the late 80s, I'm guessing it really came out. But as far as he did a report on, and now digital, it's just amazing what all that means. And I don't even understand. I don't know how a one and a zero can do all that it does. Don just laughs. But here's the thing. Okay, why didn't early man learn about digital things? Well, man's getting smarter. No, they're not. God's just revealing a little bit more. That's all. God just lets us know. You know, about every surgery that I go in and pray for, as I pray for people, I always thank God for what he's let us learn. Some of the procedures, I remember when I had my first cataract, and I was rejoicing because I was going to get an implant put in my eye. And I remember thanking God for that surgery. Because I remember Grandma's cataract, and they actually put it in a little jar. Remember they put cataracts, how would they do that? Anyway, because it's all it is a film kind of thing. I remember her gallstones being in a jar. Remember gallstones in jars? And anyway, why in the world anybody... you can't put a cataract. I just remember when she had her cataract removed. When they did that back in those days, they just removed the lens, and then she couldn't see. Well, my cataract surgery, and many of you, they removed the lens and they put a new one in that corrects your sight. And it's like, wow, what a difference. And I say, Lord, thank you for letting us learn that. I wonder what else is out there, you know? I remember when they talked about sewing contacts on your eye. You know, I had one of the first pairs of the old plastic contacts. Remember those? And I remember those, and I remember them talking about sewing contacts right on the eye. And somebody said, I'll pay to have yours. I said, they're not sewing anything on me, not on my eye. Oh. But isn't it amazing? You know, it's because God lets us know. You know, it's not because we're just so smart. God just lets us know. Isn't it amazing when you think of something and you have no idea where it came from? How did I think of that? You know, our God lets us know some things. But some things, he doesn't let us know. And some things, he wants us to just trust him. Some things, we just need to go on and realize God doesn't want us to know, for sure. Is that why these, you know, and I think, is that God, is that why you chose to tell us about these seven thunders but not tell us what they said? I don't know. It's interesting. I've probably spent too much time. I get to thinking about those things. I get to thinking about people that get sick and folks that are going through hard times and everything else. And I think the secret things belong to God. And we just have to trust him. Verse 5, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. So in my mind, I see someone doing this. Kind of like that, perhaps. Oath is what I wrote in my Bible. Lifting up his hand to heaven and then swearing. Verse 6, like an oath. Like you might give an oath of some sort. Like when I was in Boy Scouts. Remember Boy Scouts? Back in the old days when it really was Boy Scouts. And we gave the oath. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the scout laws to keep myself physically clean, mentally straight, and something else. Morally awake, morally alert, or something like that. I see an oath being given. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Doesn't mean the end of time, I don't think anyway. I think it means the time has come. The time has come. In other words, okay, it's time. Now, it's time for what? Well, maybe that's a reference to the question asked in chapter 6 and verse 10. Remember that? Way back, who knows how long ago. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long? Okay, time's up. It's time. It is time. Maybe that's, again, the Bible does not say that answers that question, but certainly there is an indication here that time is up. The time has come, all right? And so an oath is made and perhaps answers that question of how long, you know, the time is up. So again, we're in the tribulation time. Don't know exactly where this fits time-wise. We just know that there is going to be an end, okay? We know there is definitely going to be an end because the time is up. There should be time no longer. And so the seventh trumpet, chapter 15 and verse 1, go ahead and look at it. It is the way in chapter 15, verse 1. We'll have a reference to it again in this section, but chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up, there it is, the wrath of God, these seven last, the last plagues, all right? These are the bowls or the vials, and the last trumpet actually is the signifying of that, chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever. So again, when this seventh trumpet sounds, it's like this is it. These last vial judgments or bowl judgments, if you will, it's like this has to be right at the end, because this indication is from this verse and from the chapter 15, verse 1. This is it. This is the end. In fact, chapter 16 and verse 17, go ahead and look at that. And I know we're kind of jumping around here. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. You know, that seventh vial, that seventh bowl, if you will, judgment. So I say all that because, again, the timing, we don't know. We just know that this section right here is giving us a clear, definitive, okay, this thing is going to end, okay? Prophecy is going to be fulfilled. The question, how long, is going to be answered. And it is done is going to take place. God's judgment will take place as God said that it would. And so, again, verse 6, no question about it, with an oath, okay, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, and who created heaven, things therein are, the earth, things that therein are, the sea, things which are therein, there should be time no longer. And then it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. In other words, all that has been prophesied, they will end in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So it appears to me, as we get closer to those seven vial judgments, those are at the end of the tribulation. Those are right toward the end. Now, again, you have to realize, we'll talk about the Antichrist, we'll spend more time, we'll talk about, you know, the indication of what's happening. All through these 7 years, he's doing things. All through these 7 years, he is, you know, he's made peace with Israel at the first part. And we're going to talk about that next week. And I need our ushers to come if they would, and we'll collect an offering here. But we're going to talk about, how he has his covenant with Israel for 7 years. Well, in the midst of that covenant, 3.5 years in, he breaks the covenant. We're going to talk about how the temple is built and how all of that takes place. And all of that is going on in Jerusalem. It's very important. But in the midst of all that going on, the seals are opened and those judgments are taking place. In the midst of that, perhaps, within days, within weeks. We really don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But the trumpet judgments sound. And the seal judgments being the result of man on his, you know, pretty much without the influence of the Holy Spirit, just unchecked, unguarded. And the chaos, the seal judgments. And then the trumpet judgments, the wrath of God on mankind. And that all taking place. But all while that's taking place, the Antichrist is doing his thing. And the Antichrist is, starting off with peace and rebuilding the temple, and the sacrifices are taking place, and he's looking like the hero of all heroes, you know, and everybody, boy, they're so excited about him. What a great guy! And the false prophet's doing his thing, and they've got the solution to everything, right? And the false prophet is, and then there's an assassination of the Antichrist. But miraculously, the false prophet raises him from the dead. They build a big statue. Boy, it's just coming right down. All this is happening at the same time these judgments are taking place. Okay, understand, we tend to see things like a movie, maybe. I'm sorry, like a film. We tend to see things with a caption, and this is, but that's not how life is. Okay, that isn't how life is. Life doesn't have captions. Okay, we cannot put captions on all that's going on during the tribulation time. We can understand the Antichrist is powerful at the beginning, and he becomes more and more powerful. We understand in the 7 years. I keep drawing it because that's how I see it. We can understand at 3.5 years, his deception is found out by the Jews because he deceives him. He breaks the covenant in the midst of the tribulation. But all this time, while all this is happening, the news is not just talking about the Antichrist. The news is also talking about these different things. People are looting. The city of New York has been looted and burned down, and you know, and death is everywhere. And there's pestilence and disease has swept over Dallas, Texas. You know, and this is how it's going to be. Furthermore, there's great news. So-and-so, we'll just call him the Antichrist because I don't want to mention any names, but because I don't know. But I do have some things in mind. But anyway, he has established a peace treaty with Israel. And oh, we're so excited. And the 10-nation confederacy has come together. And they've decided that they're going to come together because there's starvation. And they're going to feed everybody. And, it's just going to be, like news today. You have things going on over here and things going on over here and things going on over here, and all of this is going on at the same time. God simply wants us to understand, here's the events. By the way, here's the thing. Well, I'd kind of like to know when all these... Why? We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be... By the way, that's there's nothing bad about that. It's all good. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be with the Lord. We're not going to be watching events here. I've had people say, "Well, we need to get a map for people and leave it, everywhere so people can see what's going on." And what we need to do? We just need to get the gospel out now. That's what we need to do more than anything. And I'm not against all that. That doesn't matter. But the point is, To say definitively, here's how it's all going to take place, can't do it. Can't do it. We know what's going to happen. We just don't know when. We don't know how all of those things are going to transpire. We do know by the time the 7 vials are poured out, by the end of that, we're looking at the end of the tribulation. And so, in the midst, what's going on? Mankind is, under the Antichrist. The Antichrist is, they're fighting wars. Wars are going on during the tribulation. But his army is growing. The allegiance is growing, and they're, they're mounting up their big worldwide army to eventually aim their weapons at Jesus Christ, which takes place at the Battle of Armageddon. And so again, we have a 7-year period where all these things are coming together. Why would anybody want to be mad at God? Why would they be so mad? Remember, by the end of the 6th trumpet, half of mankind. We don't know how long a period of time. I'm going to guess, let's say after 4 years. I don't know that. I'm just guessing that. But after 4 years, half of the population of the world is dead. Can you see man blaming God? Come on. You lost, you got a pay cut, you blamed God. Our washing machine breaks and we get mad at God. Why'd you let that happen, God? Right? I mean, all kinds of things happen, right? And we blame God. I can see the world blaming God. I can see the world blaming God when there's pestilence. I can see the world blaming God when there's starvation. I can see the world blaming God when cities are fallen. I can see the world blaming God because of the power of the Antichrist and, of course, his influence. I can easily see the world yoking up with the Antichrist because he has the answer, right? You say, preacher, people are going to know. People don't know today. What makes us think they'll know then? I'm sorry, I watch Christians follow Antichrist ways. Christians, people that say they're saved and love God. And I see them following Antichrist ways. Right? In fact, don't we do that anytime we sin? Kind of. Oh, preacher, come on, don't make it a dirty day. I'm just telling you, isn't that, that is the truth, isn't it? So in the tribulation time, I can easily see an army raised against God. We'll blow him out of the sky, but it isn't going to be much of a war, is it?